If you'll turn back in God's Word to Genesis chapter 47. Genesis chapter 47. We're continuing our series in the life of Joseph. We have seen Joseph sold by his brothers as a slave. He's been sent down to Egypt. There he's been thrown into prison. But God has been with this young man, and God has raised him up, and he is now ruler in Egypt. He is second only to Pharaoh. And then a famine comes in the land, and Joseph's brothers who sold him, they come down to Egypt. They don't recognize Joseph. But over a course of time, Joseph reveals himself to them. And in God's control, under God's providence, Joseph's whole family comes down to Egypt, where they can be provided for and cared for. Here in chapter 47, the passage that we read, we should always consider, who were the first readers of a passage like this? Who were the first people to read the written history of God's people? And what was God's purpose in giving this part of his word to them? So who were the first readers? Well, we know that Moses wrote down this part of the history of God's people. Moses recorded these events. And the first readers of this history were the people of Israel. And they had just left slavery in Egypt. And they were heading to God's promised land, a land that was chosen specifically for them. So what was God's purpose in having this history recorded for them? Well, when they were reading this history, when they were reading this passage, they could see where they came from, and they could know where they were going to. They could see that they were leaving Egypt. They were leaving this place. And they were going to God's place. God's chosen covenant family. They were making their way through the world to the place that God had prepared for them. Last week, we saw that this is our journey. We are on a journey like God's people, just as God's people were back then. Our journey is through this world, and we are going to a place. And that place for God's people is the new heavens and the new earth. Eternity with our Father in heaven. God's chosen people making their way to the promised land. Last week we saw that Joseph had a temporary place for them to stay. And that Joseph provided for them as they were making their way through this world to God's eternal home. This week, and in the passage before us this morning, we are continuing to look at that theme. And as we think of how we are moving through the world, as we think about our journey of life and its destination, we want to see this morning that there is a great ruling that is going on in our lives and over our lives. And there is a great reversal that is happening and will happen at the end. And we also have this morning a great reminder. A reminder to us of the destination that we are looking forward to. There is a great ruling through a chosen Savior, a great reversal for the people of God, and a great reminder of our eternal home. So let's turn our attention then to Genesis chapter 47 as we think about Joseph's administration in Egypt. And the first thing I want us to see here in this passage is there is a ruling with loving care. There is a ruling with loving care. There's a lot of detail here in this passage of how Joseph administered the selling of food towards the end of the famine. We could read Joseph's program for feeding the nation. And yet, as we read it, perhaps there was something in the back of our mind. Is this not a little bit cruel? In fact, some commentators say that in this passage we see Joseph's weaknesses. His love of power and money. His enslaving of the Egyptians. Is this not a power-hungry regime that Joseph has in place? A quick reading might make it look as though Joseph is acting out of character for what is expected of this man of God. But let's not be too hasty in accusing Joseph of acting wickedly or foolishly. Let's look at how he is ruling these people. We are told that this nation is starving to death. Think back, if you were alive in the 1970s, 80s, to those pictures coming from Ethiopia. We have to remind ourselves of what famine is, of what starving to death looks like. This is what is happening here. They are starving to death. There is no grain except for the grain that is kept in the storehouses, in the reserves that Joseph had set up. The people are starving to death. And so after all the money is cleaned up, after the people have no more money to pay for grain, Joseph allows them to exchange their animals and their livestock for food. These are animals that they couldn't afford to keep. These are animals that would have died. The livestock that the people couldn't afford to look after. And this action allows them to be fed. Joseph here is ensuring that everybody is catered for. Joseph is making sure that the people will not starve. Here is the food. Can't look after these animals. Give them to us. We will give you food. I will let you pay for grain with your animals. It's interesting, this is the first time that horses are mentioned in the Bible. So if you have any interest in horses, here in Genesis. But Joseph's care, Joseph's loving concern, pay with your animals. He supplies them with food. After the year is out, the people come again to Joseph. They are the ones who put a proposal to him. They say to him, our land and our bodies, they should belong to Pharaoh. They are ready to sell their land, to sell themselves into slavery so that they can have food and live. Now this slavery, it isn't like the slavery that Israel will experience later on under the Egyptians. That cruel enslavement. It's not the slavery of the African slave trade. This slavery is where people who are starving, who are in need, go to someone and say, I will work for you. If you provide me with food, if you provide me with shelter and clothing, I will work for you. That's this type of slavery. It's the type of slavery that Israel had within their own nation. If there was someone who was in debt, if there was someone who was in great need, how could they be provided for? Well, they could go to someone else and they could work for them. And that person would provide shelter, food, security, clothing. This is a loving thing. There was no attitude in that day of getting something for nothing. I think one of the problems in our society, one of the problems of living in a society with benefits, is that people expect we should get something for doing nothing. And that attitude is a drain, and it's a poison in our society. That wasn't the attitude in Joseph's day. Instead, they expected to work for a living. They expected to give themselves so that they could be provided for. It was often the case that those people who became slaves in these circumstances often remained as slaves when they were allowed to go free. The master, after debts had been paid, or after the person had gathered up enough money, could say to them, "You may now go free." But often the slave would say, "No, I'm going to stay and continue working for you," if it was a good master. Because here the slave had security, they had shelter, they had provision, they were cared for. This is Joseph's loving care in the land of Egypt. He rules with loving care, and Joseph saves this nation. He made sure that everybody was catered for. He made sure that they were provided for. Well, what about this tax? A fifth has to go to Pharaoh. That's 20% tax. The typical tax in and around Joseph's day and other nations was anything from 33% up to 75%. Joseph says 20%. A fifth. That's not a lot. You think of our own society, our own nation. The tax that we pay on the money that we earn, and then we pay tax to drive our car, we pay tax for everything that we use, everything that we buy, we pay rates on our houses. We're continually paying out to the government, and we're to do that. We're to pay the government what it asks. But here, Joseph, it's just 20%, and four-fifths are for the people. This is ruling with loving care. Look at what the people say in verse 25. "You have saved our lives." Joseph was the savior of the people. He shepherded them through each and every year. He guided them through each and every year. He was ensuring that they were provided for. This is ruling with loving care. And surely in some ways, Joseph reminds us of our Savior, Christ Jesus. He is the one who rules and reigns. He is the one who is our ultimate Savior. And like Joseph, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was chosen to save. He was the one sent from heaven. He was the one who was obedient while he was here on earth. He was the one who was rejected by man. He was the one who suffered and died on the cross for our sin. He is the one who's been raised up and is even now seated at the right hand of God the Father. And we are reminded here of our Savior. the one who shepherds us through each and every year, the one who provides for us, the one who shows us loving care and in complete dependence on Him, we are happy to say, we are your servants. We are your slaves. In Him we have security. We have protection. We have provision. We have shelter. And we say, happily, we live for you. Happily, we serve you. Happily, we worship you. Our true King and Lord, the one who rules with loving care as we make our way through this life. But then secondly, here in this passage, we have the reversing of life's circumstances. The reversing of life's circumstances. God is in the business of bringing about great reversals. We've seen this already throughout Genesis. What is it that God does? God brings down the mighty and He raises up the lowly. God chooses the weak over the strong. He chooses the younger over the older. God brings about reversals. Jacob and his family, they've been in Canaan. They're living during a time of famine. They're starving. They are near to the point of death. But God brings them down to Egypt. And through Joseph, they settle in the land of Goshen, this northeastern part of Egypt. Verse 12. They are provided for. They had food. No one was left out. And here in Goshen in this northeastern part of Egypt, because of the Nile Delta, the river, the land is still producing grass. It's still fairly fertile. And so livestock can be grazed there. And that's where Joseph's family stay. And here in Goshen, they are in charge of Pharaoh's livestock. What about the rest of Egypt? Verse 13. No food in all the land. The famine was very severe. The land of Egypt and Canaan languished by reason of famine. God is bringing about a change in this family, providing for them, caring for them. Think of Egypt. What's happened to Egypt? All the money is cleaned up. It's put into Pharaoh's bank. All Egypt's animals are cleaned up and they're put into Pharaoh's care. And Pharaoh's animals are looked after by the children of Israel. All of Egypt's land is cleaned up and placed under Pharaoh. All Egypt's people are cleaned up and made servants of Pharaoh. What about Israel? They prosper. They increase. They grow. Look at verse 27. They gained possessions. They were fruitful. They multiplied greatly. All the livestock that Joseph gathered up, who looks after the livestock? Israel. Jacob's sons. They prosper here in Egypt. Do you see the contrast? Do you see the reversal that God is bringing about for Jacob's family, for the family of Israel? From starving and near death, they are provided for. They're given what they need. And God has brought about this change. They're given extra responsibility in Egypt with all of Pharaoh's livestock. They have possession in Goshen for a time when the rest of Egypt has to sell their land to Pharaoh. God has brought about this change. From being wanderers and strangers, They get to settle here for a little while. It's not the promised land. We'll think of that in a moment. But from being in desperation and with no hope, they now have security and provision. God has brought about this change. What about great and mighty Egypt? Well, they are now people on their knees. They are people who are on the brink of death, but cared for year on year by Joseph. From 7 years of plenty, they have 7 years of famine. God has brought about this change. They are slaves in the hands of Pharaoh. Under Joseph's ruling, this would remain in place for at least the next 430 years. When Moses was writing down this history, he says, it stands to this day. The laws that Joseph made stand to this day. That is the day when Moses was writing, when he and the people of Israel were leaving Egypt, heading to the promised land. God has brought about this change. God has never forgotten his promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God has brought about this change. Even think of Joseph, a prisoner, a slave in Egypt, a nobody in this nation, and now the prime minister, the governor, second only to Pharaoh. He is the savior. God has brought about this change. 430 years later, we come to the nation of Israel, and they are leaving this land of Egypt. They are leaving the slavery that they came under, and they're heading towards the promised land. And what is it they need to know as they are making their way to the place that God has prepared? God has brought about this change. There is a reversal in life's circumstances. From being under the rule of wicked men to being under God's rule. From living in a foreign land to going to the place that God has prepared. God brings about this reversal. From having nothing to being provided for. From seeing mighty Egypt ruling and controlling to being brought to its knees in desperation. God has brought about this change. The reversal in life's circumstances is in God's hands. It's God alone who brings about this change. Friends, our circumstances in life may be difficult. We might appear to be in a position of weakness. We might feel as though we are being undone. We might feel as though we're being squeezed by the world. But we must remember, as we move towards our eternity in Christ Jesus, it is God who is bringing about a reversal in life's circumstances. See, as Christians, we can be marginalized. We can be laughed at. We can be vilified in the media and by our society. Like God's people in Egypt, we need to know that God has not left his people. He has not left us begging bread, as we sang about in Psalm 37. But God sustains his own, and he brings about a change. And God will bring about a wonderful reversal in circumstances. Because one day, we will be with our Savior, Jesus Christ. One day, we will be heirs of the new heavens and the new earth in Jesus Christ. One day in Christ, we will rule with him. This will happen on the day when Christ returns, when he brings in his kingdom. And on that day, we will be raised up. On that day we will be seated with our Saviour. We will possess and own the new heavens and new earth. You see, for the Christian, for the one who is in Christ, there is a great reversal, a great change. But remember also the contrast, because there will be a great reversal for those who are outside of Christ. Think of Egypt. Egypt was outside of God's promises. Egypt didn't come to know the God of Israel. Egypt instead decided to enslave God's children. They rejected the God of the covenant. The great reversal that happens to Egypt is they are brought to their knees before God. If you are outside of Christ, if you are not a Christian, one day you will be brought to your knees before Christ Jesus. He is the one who is Lord of lords and King of kings. He is the one who rules and reigns with this wonderful loving care and provision. And perhaps you think to yourself, well, I'm in a position of greatness in myself. I'm in a position of security. I don't need this Jesus Christ. There will come a day of a great reversal when you will no longer enjoy God's common goodness, but instead you will have to face his righteous judgment. God brings about a great change. But friend, he can bring about a great change today in your life by coming to Jesus Christ, by acknowledging that he is the great King, by seeking forgiveness from God and trusting that Christ has died for your sin. He can bring about a great reversal today that will lead to that greater reversal when we stand before our Saviour. You too can rule and reign and be an heir in the kingdom of heaven. A reversal in life's circumstances. Ruling with loving care. Reversal of life's circumstances. And then thirdly and finally and very briefly, a reminder of the land to come. A reminder of the land to come. Verses 28 to 31. Jacob's time drew near. Jacob, what was his time? Think of how long Jacob had Joseph before Joseph was sold as a slave. Do you remember what age Joseph was when he left the care of his father and was sent down to Egypt? He was 17 years old. Jacob had 17 years with Joseph at the beginning. How long did he have with Joseph at the end in verse 28? He lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. His days were perfectly numbered. God's timing. God's overruling Jacob's days. Friends, our days are perfectly numbered by God. There is a time set aside for each of us to breathe our last. But for Jacob, for Israel, he has both these names. For him, his eyes were fixed ahead. The reversal of circumstances in Egypt, they weren't Jacob's security. That was just earthly provision for Jacob. Instead, he was looking ahead to another land. He was looking ahead to the covenant promises of God. And he makes Joseph take a promise for the future generations. Jacob says to his son, "Do not bury me in Egypt, but let me lie with my fathers. Carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burying place. Bring me to the land that God has chosen." It was because of his faith that Israel, or Jacob, wanted to be buried in Canaan. See, he was looking ahead to a better land. And Jacob, even though dead, would still be included in the inheritance of the place of promise. Even though his body had long since decayed, he knew that he would be sharing in God's promised place. He had faith that he would still inherit the place of promise. Canaan, remember, the physical land of promise. That's just a picture. It's just an illustration. It's just a shadow of the true land that God has for his people. The new heavens and the new earth, our heavenly home with Christ. And here we have the reminder that we are headed to another home. And there we will experience the greatest reversal. There we will be lifted up. There we will be seated with Christ. And there we will see in all its fullness the careful, loving rule of our Saviour and Lord. Shortly in Israel's history, the people of Israel, there will be another reversal in their life circumstances. They're going to be made slaves. They're going to be made slaves here in the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh will come to power. A Pharaoh who did not know Joseph. But God would set his people free. And what is it that they needed to know as they were making their way through the world? They needed to know that God ruled with great loving care. They needed to know that God brings about great reversals in life circumstances. And they needed to be reminded that they are heading to another home, a place of God's choosing. And as we make our way in life, then surely these are the truths that we need to know. We have a king who rules with loving care. There will be a great reversal in life's circumstances for all of God's people. And we are reminded, this is not our home, but we are headed to the new heavens and the new earth. Amen.